I love the praise and worship time to where we just get to focus on who God is in our lives and the things that we go through. So many times we go through so many things, troubles and strifes. And this week, as I was preparing for today's message, I know that every one of us is going through some kind of a storm. Now, it may just be something small at this time, or you may see it building on the horizon, but you know a storm's coming, or maybe you just came out of that storm and the people around you need to see God's strength through you. But this week I was, of the mornings, a lot of times I will get up and I will just be lazy and I'll say, Alexa, play me some Southern Gospel music, or Alexa, play K-Love, or whatever that my mindset is that day. And this week, one of the songs that came on was I Know the Master of the Wind. And Stacy sings that a lot of times. I love that song. But I began to think about the fact that in the midst of the storms in my life, they seem extreme to me. And they are. And your storms are extreme to you. And we can't ever take that away. But when you know the Master of the Wind, then you know that it's going to be okay. But then I want to share one other song that I heard this morning, and it kind of, you know how a lot of times people will say, God is good, and then you respond? Right. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Okay, I messed it up. My bad. But you knew where I was going. Well, this morning I hear this song that says, God is good, and it run through my mind. That's what's coming next. And it says, no, God is great. I thought, ooh, I like this song. And that's all I can remember of the whole song. But I like the fact that God is not just good. God is great. And we need to experience that every day. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. So if you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, we are going to be in verse 35 to start with. And this is one of those passages of Jesus in the storm. And like I said, when God kind of laid this on my heart this week, I couldn't get away from it. And it's not the normal what I was expecting when he brought that to me. And so let's go ahead and let's read, and we'll start at 35. It says, on that day, when evening had came, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, we can read about it, how you are that master of the wind. You speak and you control the waves. But Lord, it is so truly amazing when we feel that in our lives, when we know that you are moving in our lives. And Lord, that's what we want today. We want you to show us. We want you to encourage us. We want you to draw us to you. We want you to move in this place in such a way that you are glorified and honored in everything that's done. Lord, draw us to you and change us. May your will be done today. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, as I looked at this passage this week, you know, a lot of times you talk about that calm during the storm and things like that, and the way he calmed the storm. He didn't ever promise to take away all the storms. He promised to calm you during the storms, and we know that. But as I began to look at it this week, I didn't look at it as what God is necessarily going to do for me during the storm, but I wanted to look at Jesus in the midst of the storm, because it truly should always be about Jesus. And so as I was beginning to think about this, he tells them, let's go to the other side of this lake. And so they're getting ready to go to the other side of the lake. Jesus knows that the storm is coming. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, if I remember right, it's like 2 miles wide. Or is it seven, Dave? Seven. Okay, it takes 2 hours to paddle across. So that's, I knew there was a two there somewhere. I knew my Israel guy over here would keep my connection, keep me right. But anyway, he knew that in the time that it was going to take them to get from one side to the other side where they were going, that there was going to be a major storm. That storm did not surprise him. That storm, it's raining to the point that the waves are splashing into the boat. And he was okay. He was calm. He's sleeping on a cushion. And I looked up a picture of what the boat, they have a boat that they found sunk in the mud over there along the sea when it actually went down. They found this ship of that time frame that they pulled up out of the mud, and what it looks like and the length and everything. And it kind of reminded me, if you've seen those just old V-bottom boats, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It looks just like an old metal V-bottom boat, but it was made out of wood. And there wasn't a whole lot of protection on the sides. But he's laying up on the stern on this cushion. And it's not like our boats today, you know, that up underneath the stern, you can crawl up underneath this cover. And so you don't get wet. That's where all the kids always went when I was growing up. You crawled up underneath there and the wind didn't hit you and you were out of the waves splashing up on you. Well, he's laying in the stern of this boat on a cushion. In the midst of a storm, he's asleep. Jesus was pretty calm in the midst of this storm. Now, nobody else was. But Jesus was pretty calm in the midst of this storm. And as I got to thinking about that this week, it was so important that I see that in the midst of a storm that I see is pretty rough. You could probably have asked any of those disciples and say, you think this storm's pretty bad? They would have probably, everyone said yes. I mean, water's coming into the boat. They would have said, this is a bad storm. But Jesus, in the midst of the storm, was calm. The storm was just as bad for him. But he was calm because he knew, I'm in my Father's will. I'm doing what my Father called me to do. And so he was calm in the midst of that storm. Now, the disciples weren't, but they're not the ones I want to focus on at this point. I want to focus on the fact that, first of all, Jesus was calm in the midst of the storm because he was in the center of his Father's will. The next word that I want to look at is care. I remember we used to sing a song years ago. It says, I know there have been times I've been out of His will, but I've never been out of His care. And I know that's the truth for me. I know there's been times in my life that I was not where God wanted me to be, but He still cared about me. Well, here Jesus is asleep on this cushion. The disciples are panicking, and they wake Him up. And the first thing He does, He doesn't reprimand them. He doesn't look around. He gets up, He speaks to the wind and the waves, and He calms the storm. Because He knew that's what they needed at that point. He cared about them. He took care of them. They are panicking. Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? He got up and He took care of them. Man, how many times in your life and my life do we find ourselves in the midst of some kind of storm, and a lot of times I'm the one that causes the storms I go through. Not always, but there's times when I make the mistake or I make the choice and I have to live with the consequences. And I find myself in a storm, and when I call on God, He may not set up in the boat and calm that storm right away, but He's still calm in the midst of my storm because He knows what is right for me. And so as I think about this and I think about how Jesus wakes up, sets up, and takes care of them immediately, I know that I will never be out of His care. Even when I panic, even when I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even when I don't understand why things are happening the way they are, I know that I'm never out of His care. And that should give me assurance. That should give me comfort in that time. And then I thought, okay, so we know Jesus is in this calm in the midst of the storm, and we know He's always caring. But I like this next one, and it's not a C. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those guys that can come up with all C's. I got 3 out of 4. But this one is power. Man, in the midst of that storm, in the midst of caring, He speaks. And the wind and the waves stop. Now, you guys have all been around a lake or around a river that, you know, if you could cross the dam or the mile-long bridge and you see the wind blowing and you see the white caps. I remember when I was growing up, we'd think, okay, if it's like that now, we're going to have to wait 3 or 4 hours for it to get really calm. But God speaks, and it's calm. The power of Jesus in the midst of the storm is real. Sometimes, because we don't see it, because we're in the midst of that storm, and my focus is on the waves, and my focus is on the wind, I don't think about the power that's available. But when Jesus set up and He spoke to the wind and the waves, the power of God stopped everything. Nothing is out of His control. Even when I think my life is spinning out of control, and you think your life is spinning out of control, and you don't understand why it's the way it is, you're never out of His care, and you are certainly never out of His power that He has to control that situation. And so, we've got the calm, we've got the care, we've got the power. And then if we go back and we look at this, His concern. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? He was concerned about, why are you still not believing in Me? Why do you not have faith? He had already took care of the problem. And now he's not reprimanding them, but he's concerned that, with all you've seen Me do, we've fed thousands, we've done all of these things, why do you not believe? Why is your faith not strong? Why are you afraid? And that's the part that gets me out of probably this whole message, is because you and I know the power of God. You and I know that God has a purpose and a plan, and He's going to provide. So why is my faith still weak? Why are there times when I'm still afraid of what's going on? His concern was for their faith. And I think He knew this storm was coming. Maybe this storm was for the whole purpose to increase their faith so that they could see His power, so that they could see the wind and the waves die down, so that they could see this God I believe in, this Son of God that's with me every day, has this power. And He wants to know why I'm still afraid. And so I'd ask you that question, and I'd ask myself that question. When we're going through those troubled times and we're going through those situations, and we know God's in control, why is our faith so weak? Because sometimes our faith is just because of what we've seen God do in other people's lives. And I've seen God move in other people's lives, and it's just been amazing. But you know, I've not stepped out on faith on my own. Or it's been a long time since I have. Is He still there? Is He still watching? Am I in the right spot? Am I doing what He wants me to do? And we begin to question ourselves, and we begin to ask ourselves, am I really where God wants me? Don't ask yourself that. Ask God that. Because if I ask myself, am I where God wants me? Then I'm going to respond. But if I ask God, am I where you want me? He will show me. He will tell me where He wants me. But too many times you and I don't want to do that. Because if I ask God, am I where you want me? He may say no. He may say, I want you somewhere else. I want you to be vulnerable somewhere else. I want you to be uncomfortable somewhere else. I want you to be out doing something for me that makes you totally uncomfortable so that you have to rely on me. And so it's easier for me to just ask myself, am I where God wants me? And if you're going to be where God wants you, you're probably going to have to ask Him where He wants you. And so as I thought about this storm today and the storms that you and I go through, I thought this is a really good story to tell us how Jesus was in the midst of that storm. Everything that He did in that storm. And then He said, in my mind I'm thinking, this is how He wants us to act in the middle of the storm that you and I face. But look at the storm that He faced when He went to Calvary. He knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew that He was going to be crucified, buried, and left for dead. He knew that it was going to be the worst type of death that you could possibly have. He knew that He was going to be beat. He knew that He was going to be spit upon. He knew that He was going to be murdered. And He was calm. In the midst of the worst storm you could possibly ever imagine, Jesus is calm because He knows He's in the middle of the Father's will. And the reason He's there is because He cares. But think about this. He's in the middle of this storm. He's hanging on the cross. And He looks down and the Bible tells us He sees His mother. And he looks over at John. He said, basically, in our words, hey, John, take care of my mom. He cared about people that were around. He looks at the thief on the cross beside Him and He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He's being crucified. He's having the life drained out of Him. He's being stabbed in the side. He is being suffocated from hanging on this cross. And He cares about the thief beside Him. In the midst of His storm. And God says, Steve, your storm won't seem quite as bad if you start caring about other people. If you take your focus off of your storm and you start looking at other people, your storm won't be so big. And so we need to see that not only was He calm and that He cared about people, think about the power that He had. He's hanging on this Roman cross. The Bible tells us He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, but He died alone for you and I. That's power. It's not the type of power that eventually the sun would go black and the earth would shake and rocks would split open and the veil in the temple would be ripped from top to bottom. And it's not just a veil like a curtain. It's 4 inches thick. It's 45 feet tall. And it rips from top to bottom. And that's the power of God in the midst of His storm. And 3 days later, the power of God would bring Him from the dead. But think about the power it would take not to call those 10,000 angels. And that power was His love. Because He knew if He called the 10,000 angels, that He would not have been in the middle of His Father's will. And you and I would have had to die for our own sins. But what He does is He takes that power and He holds it back. And His concern, the reason for doing all of it, was for you. For me. He's calm. He cared. His power. His concern. All of that is wrapped up in His love for the Father, His love for us. And so when I think about the storm that I go through, yes, Jesus is with me in the boat. Jesus is there. His power is there. His concern is there. His care is there. But my focus is still on the waves. But if I stop and think, He promises to calm me in the middle of my storms. He doesn't ever promise to take those storms away, but He promises to calm me in them. He wants me to care for those people around me so that I'm not focused on just me. The power of God, I don't have it. But the Bible tells me that I am a temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And if you're His, that's the same thing. The power of God lives in us as Christians. The power is there. The calm can be there. The care should be there. But is the concern there? His concern was, where's your faith? My concern for other people. Yes, I want to care for those that are Christians that are around me, those people that are around me. But is my concern for the lost, is it there? Is my concern for the lost there? Wherever you're at today, I don't know. But I can tell you that you're going to go through a storm. And it's going to be rough. Maybe you're in the midst of it right now. But you're going to go through a storm. But understand those four words. And I'm not going to keep repeating them. You already know what they are. Hopefully you've written them down. If not, you've thought about them enough that you'll remember them. But Jesus is there in that storm. Or He's going to be there when you get to that storm. And it's not a surprise for Him. But as you realize that, understand that not only is He there, but in this world that you and I step out into every day, we need to have that same thing in us. We need to have the calm that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have the care that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have the power that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I need to have a concern for the lost. And it all stems back to, if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not going to have any of that. We know what He went through on the cross. What do you go through every day? When He's going through that on the cross, He never took His eyes off God. When I go through my day, I generally, a lot of times, don't take my eyes off of me. I should. But it's about Jesus. Last thing as I close. You may not be going through a storm. You may have already came through it. It may be on the horizon. But if you will look beside you, somebody else is going through a storm. You may not know it. They may not be one of the people standing up saying, Jesus, help me because we're about to die. Don't you care? They may be one of those people that are sitting back trying to pretend that everything's okay. They may be one of those people that they don't want to call out. They don't want to bring a lot of attention to themselves. But there are people right beside you and me that are going through that storm that they need the love of Jesus Christ around them, and they don't have a way to call out to Him. They're in one of those other boats. They're not in the boat with Jesus. They're in one of those other boats. You can be the Jesus to them. That's His will. As we close today, wherever God has you, know that He's not satisfied. Well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good. Yes, you are. But no one is righteous, not one. And so for us to be where God wants us, we have to ask Him. We've talked about the storms, all that. We're going to set that aside. And right now, I want you to to ask yourself, God, where do you want me? Not God, where do you want my wife? Or God, where do you want my son or daughter or my brother or sister or my mom and dad? God, where do you want me? Because if you don't ask Him, you're never going to find out. And you're going to float around in that boat waiting for somebody else to call on God to say, get us to shore. And you do not want to be at the mercy of somebody else. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for the possibility of a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that those that don't have that they would come to know you in a way that is personal and real. Lord, I pray for those today that are going through those storms. I pray that they would feel that calm. I pray that they'd feel all those things. Lord, I pray